This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, February 11th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And yes, the regular season is over, the postseason is over, the Super Bowl is over, but the daily pods don't stop. I'm still going to be coming for you every single morning, all off season. I was already thinking today, how many days is it until training camp? Like, I'm excited to start tracking training camp stats again. So the daily pods roll on. But of course, I hope you all had a fantastic Victory Monday. I know I'm recording this. I'm on about, 2.5 hours of sleep, maybe 3.5 hours of sleep, and three of which were on a plane. So not a lot of sleep since the end of the game. But you know what? That's okay, because it has been an awesome last 24 hours. I'm at a point where I'm scrolling Twitter and there's pretty much no Eagles content I won't consume. Like, as tired as I am, I've been unable to sleep. I feel like if I were to go to sleep for an hour, I'm going to miss something, whether it's like a video I haven't seen, a stat I haven't seen, an interview quote I haven't seen. So I've been up consuming Eagles content pretty much 24/7 since that game ended. But I'm excited to get back into a daily pod with you today and talk to you about some of the things you might have missed from Monday if you were maybe out partying. Who knows? Now, that being said, normally I feel like there's a shot you miss some Eagles content. This time I'd be pretty surprised if you didn't hear some of this stuff, but I'm still going to play it for you because I want to give you my opinion on some of the quotes that have come out since the Eagles smacked the Kansas City Chiefs around in Super Bowl 59 to capture their second Super Bowl trophy. So let's start where we always do, with what is on the schedule. We're going to need to think of a way to tweak that for the offseason. I want to keep it going because I feel like it's a nice way to start the pod. But if you have any ideas, let me know. So on the schedule, really nothing for today, but the piece of scheduling news we did get is that there's going to be a parade on Friday down Broad Street. So there'll be more details on the parade as the week goes on. As you know, it's supposed to snow in Philadelphia Tuesday night into Wednesday. I'd imagine that's part of the reason they're waiting this long into the week to do it. They're going to have to clear all the snow. That's going to take a lot of city employees doing that. But come Friday, there will be a parade down Broad Street. And based off some of the clips I've seen of Nick Sirianni since that game ended, I think Victory Lap Sirianni could potentially be all-time Sirianni. I never thought we'd see anything like Jason Kelce at the parade in 2018. Nick Sirianni might top it. So I'm excited to go to the parade, to see it, to share all the videos with you guys, because I think it's going to be a wild one. So that is not on the schedule for today, but we can count down to it on Friday. The injury report, this will be the last time we do the injury report for a while, because the season is over and they're Super Bowl champions. But I did have one injury thought. I don't have an answer to this yet. I'm going to try to get it. But so Nick Sirianni at the end of the game put in Kenny Pickett to take the final few snaps. I get it. Like, I was even thinking and texting some of my friends, you know, I might like stop giving the ball to Saquon just because, God forbid, you know, I mean, he could get hurt on any play. And if he, God forbid, would have torn his ACL in a meaningless play, like, that's his whole offseason there. So I do understand taking Jalen out of the game. Maybe he wanted Jalen to be on the sidelines celebrating with his teammates. Like, that could have very well been it. But I do kind of think Jalen should have taken the final snap, the final kneel down. Just feels like he earned it. He's a starting quarterback. I do think it would have been cool to have all the starters out there. So, you know, talking to Sirianni after the game was borderline impossible in any type of like actual media capacity. But maybe I'll try to ask him this week, because I'm curious as to what went into that. Obviously not a huge question right now with the fact that they're planning a parade for winning the Super Bowl, but I'm just curious as to why he did it. Felt like Jalen should have been out there for that final snap. So speaking of Jalen, let's get into some of the things he had to say and some of his teammates had to say about him after his outstanding performance. First, Jalen Hurts was talking about the fact that he's had so many critics throughout his career. He had him in college. He had him coming out of college. He had him early on in Philly. He's had him this year in Philadelphia. I've been critical of Jalen this year. Pretty much everyone has been critical of Jalen at one point. But nationally, it does seem like Jalen really does get it a lot more than other quarterbacks, or at least, you know, especially after Sunday, is not really viewed, you would think, the way he should be considering his resume. So Jalen was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
So I can't control what these people think, but if it takes all the hate and all the scrutiny and all the different opinions for me to be a world champion, and keep it coming.
So the one thing that's really stuck with me since this game is, I mean, just an all-time shut up your critics performance out of Jalen. And Jordan Brand put out an ad after the Super Bowl where, where they basically were like, do you hate that you were wrong? Like, they hate that, you know, they say he's not top 10 quarterback. They say that, you know, he can't throw the ball to a win. And it ends with Jalen kind of smiling with that Super Bowl trophy saying, do you hate that you were wrong? And yeah, look, I am not a take shamer. It's not what I do. I myself have opinions that certainly have been wrong. So I think if someone was in week 7, 8, 9 being like, Jalen can't do it, and then he did it, I don't think that's a hater. Like, everyone reacts as it goes on. But I think anybody at this point that won't just say he's an elite quarterback, I just don't know what else you want to see. Like, consistency could be part of it. Like, if you want to say, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have done it for, like, you know, 4 or 5 years in a row, I think that's fair to say. But Jalen's been to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years. He has a Super Bowl ring. He beat Patrick Mahomes to get that Super Bowl ring. And I think that because the defense was so good, it overshadows a little how good Jalen was. Like, most quarterbacks could have won that game, but I don't think most quarterbacks make it so that game is an absolute laugher by the time the fourth quarter starts. Had a chance to rewatch the game on Monday because, again, my body refuses to go to sleep. I can't stop consuming content. I rewatched the game, and I thought he was more impressive the second time around than the first time, and I was pretty impressed the first time around. His accuracy was outstanding in this game. His decision-making was outstanding in this game. I thought it was really kind of the poster for what the best version of Jalen is. He didn't throw it 40 times. He was 17 of 22. But of those 22 passing plays or attempts, he was absolutely outstanding in them. The deep ball accuracy was great. Didn't take any chances with the ball. The one interception he had really wasn't a risky throw. He just got impacted as he threw it, and it caused it to be way underthrown, making it picked off. I thought he was really good as a runner. What really stands out to me about Jalen is when he is on as a passer, he becomes a way better runner. You can just see him run with such a decisiveness and a quickness when he's on as a passer. I think sometimes when the passing game's struggling and he runs as a result of maybe not being sure where to go with the ball or nothing's open, then there isn't really, like, I think when he runs then, he's also not running with a level of decisiveness. He's running with, like, a not really sure where everybody is type of thing. So I thought as a runner, he was outstanding. But I'm not the only one that thought that in terms of how good he was. A.J. Brown was asked about Jalen Hurts and his performance, and here's what A.J. had to say.
He played unbelievable. He did an amazing job all day. He showed up. He answered the call. He stayed poised all day, you know, and he made the plays when needed.
Did you think that you guys were going to be able to put up 40 against a Spags defense? You've seen that before.
Tell the truth, bro.
That
you thought 40 was coming.
We knew what we're capable of. And we just had to go out and just do our thing, you know. And we said if we execute, nobody's on the field is going to mess with us. And the entire team came out with that DNA, came out with that mindset.
I thought it was cool seeing Jalen and AJ share some moments in the locker room after the game. They lit cigars up together. I saw them talking. You know, they were in kind of the same circle of people celebrating. Jalen did bounce around. Like, he really wasn't around the same people much. I think the player he's probably around the most was Brandon Graham. And AJ Brown was definitely, you know, it was interesting watching how different guys took in the moment. Some guys partied the literal entire time. Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, like lots of guys. Saquon, from the second he got in that locker room, was partying. AJ definitely took some time to himself to kind of like soak it in, sit at his locker. It looked like he was probably responding to what I'm sure is thousands of text messages from people that are close to him. So, but Jalen and AJ definitely took some time to make sure that they had a moment together. And that was cool to see because, you know, yeah, we like there was the drama this year with what Brandon Graham said. And there was truth to that, right? But we saw on the field Sunday, they can still be an outstanding duo, and seeing them together doing that was cool. So, yeah, I think Jalen's performance was the poster for what he could be and what he can be at his absolute best. Going into next season, you absolutely have to have him ranked as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm going to put him number two. You know, if you put him 3, 4, I don't think that's like an egregious thing to do, but I think he belongs number two. And when he plays on Sunday, the way he played on Sunday, he's a top two quarterback, but on Sunday, he wasn't number two. Like, he was the best quarterback on that field by far. He hit the open throws that were there. Patrick Mahomes did not hit the open throws that were there, and that really stood out on the rewatch. So I want to get into the defense a little more in this pod. I feel like I haven't had a chance to really talk about the defense. The postgame pod was like just pandemonium celebrating. Then my daily pod yesterday was pretty much all about the locker room. So I want to give the defense some credit. I know they've been getting a ton of it, but I want to make sure I do it in this space. Rewatched every defensive snap on Sunday, and my God, you want to talk about, like, it's, you know, when people talk about like the old Eagles defenses with like Seth Joyner, Reggie White, Eric Allen, like some of the great defensive players this team has had. That, like, that's what I picture when people talk about like the great Bears defense, the steel curtain. Like, that's what I picture. I've seen the Eagles defense play great games before. It's nothing new to see an Eagles defense have a great game, but just in terms of a physical and mental domination of a team, I was just blown away rewatching it. They were so far and away the more physical team on that field. Every single play, whether it was a completion, whether it was a drop back where they got a sack, whether it was a running play, they were the one delivering the hit as opposed to being hit. Even on like a 3-yard completion, I remember one pass Mahomes had where he's getting rid of the ball lightning quick because the pressure is coming. And I think it was Noah Gray caught it in the flat, and Quinion just levels the dude and stands up and flexes over him. Josh Sweat just completely dominated his matchup. Jalix Hunt dominated his matchup. Jalen Carter, physical, getting in Patrick Mahomes' face. Milton Williams, I mean, you could argue he might have been the best defensive player in the game. He was that good. His strip sack of Patrick Mahomes, where he gets up the middle, gets around to Patrick Mahomes, knocks the ball out of his hand, and then is also the one to recover it. I mean, he might have made $5-6 million on that play alone. That was an outstanding play by Milton Williams. In the secondary, you could see Chauncey was talking. There was a play early on in the game. And again, it's just little things that really stood out to me where they have a small completion. It was the first drive of the game, and it's this completion of the flat, and Cooper DeJean just brings him down. Like, wasn't an especially hard hit, wasn't an especially aggressive hit, just tackles him. Like, you caught it, boom, done. That's all you're getting. And they did not give up anything really of meaning until the game was pretty much out of hand already. I mean, you could argue they really kind of shut him out. Like, it was 34-0 at one point. So they, when it mattered, gave the Kansas City Chiefs absolutely nothing. And they did that, I thought, because they were the more physical, dominant unit. They just, to me, it looked like they were enjoying beating up the Chiefs, and the Chiefs just had no fight in them whatsoever. I even thought Travis Kelce, on some of the targets he got, looked like he heard footsteps. Looks like he had no interest in being hit. Patrick Mahomes, he was rattled. Like, I've not watched every snap of Mahomes' career. I've never seen him look that rattled. Probably, honestly, since the Super Bowl he lost. And even then, I don't remember him looking that rattled. Like, he was missing wide open throws just because because of the pressure. So, with how good they were, Jalen Hurts gave him some credit. And here's Jalen talking about the defense.
It all goes back to the work, you know, and it's a team effort. You know, I was telling Mr. Lurie, you know, defense won championships. And that defense played their ass off today, and it showed.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I think because of how well the defense played, it's viewed as a, like, well, Jalen didn't have to be great. But the defense made it a win. Jalen made it a complete and utter blowout. Like, Jalen wasn't losing that game. The way he was playing, he was not losing. I think if the defense would have given up 35 points, Jalen would have scored 37 points. If the defense would have given up 40 points, I think Jalen would have scored 43 points. Like, he was that good. But the defense made Jalen's life easier for sure. Like, the defense put them in advantageous situations. They completely made it so, really, like, midway through the second and definitely after halftime, there were not a lot of high leverage throws by Jalen just because the lead was so big. Now, Jalen had a lot to do with that, but the defense, I thought, was the one, at least mostly, because offense was too. I mean, it was just a complete domination, but the defense, I think, was probably why there was never really a feeling of they were going to lose it once it got about a quarter into that game. You could tell the defense was just completely dominating them. So, obviously, one of the big plays in the game was Cooper DeJean when he had the pick six. And we'll talk about that play a little more on the other side. But Cooper was asked about that play, as you would expect. And here's what Cooper had to say about when he knew he was going to score.
Right when I touched it. I was trying to find the open lane, find the open grass to get in the end zone. Luckily, you know, I had some guys throwing some blocks out there for me, and I was able to get in there. It was awesome.
When the Eagles drafted Cooper DeJean, one of the first things I know they liked about him, or at least I had heard they liked about him, was his ability to make plays with the ball in his hands. Like the some of the punt returns he had at Iowa, he has one interception in Iowa where he catches it kind of like over his shoulder as he's running, turns around, brings it back in for a touchdown. You know, it's pretty ironic that on these pods I've done all year, I've had times where I've yawned, and now I'm working on like 3 hours sleep, and that was the first even kind of half yawn. I haven't really yawned at all. I gotta talk to somebody about the yawning. But Cooper DeJean on that play, you rewatch it today, and first of all, I think the defensive line creates the interception. But an outstanding play by Cooper, and it's not surprising based off of how dangerous he can be as a punt returner and what we saw him do in college that he was able to bring it back all the way for the touchdown, and obviously a massive play in that game. So the other thing I wanted to get into, and I thought this was like such a red flag for I want to say the Chiefs because they're a great franchise, but DeAndre Hopkins after the game brought up how like there were some close calls. And so here's DeAndre Hopkins making a not so jokey line about the officiating.
You know, I saw a lot of things in the media about the refs, but obviously what y'all gonna say now about the refs and us when there was a lot of touchy calls? Are y'all gonna report that? Are y'all gonna talk about the refs now?
I mean, no set of officials in the world could have won that game for the Chiefs. No set of officials in the world could have made that a much closer game. The Chiefs got probably the biggest high leverage call of the game. Ooh, excuse me. There we go. See, there we go. 2 hours of sleep. They got the probably biggest high leverage call of the game when A.J. Brown got flagged for offensive pass interference down the sideline. I mean, if the Eagles get that, like, it's like they might have scored 50 points in the Super Bowl if they got that. So hearing DeAndre Hopkins say that, it's like, come on, man. Like, I get that you're probably tired of hearing the Chiefs get all the calls, but to bring up that there were some 50-50 calls in that game and they went against the Chiefs and not the Eagles, I just think it shows a difference in the mentality in the two teams going into that game. And, you know, for all of the criticism Nick Sirianni gets about his emotion, I thought it was crystal clear. One team came to play and one didn't. And one team, when things got tough, just completely folded. I had a good view of Andy Reid. I was sitting like above the Eagles sideline at the 50. So I had a better view of of the Kansas City offense, or I should say the Kansas City bench. Andy Reid had no emotion that entire game. Nick Sirianni, love him, hate him, whatever you want to think of him, that dude was fired up and into it. Andy looked like disinterested, and I know obviously he wasn't, but I just thought he looked disinterested. So the difference in the mentality between the two teams really stood out to me, and hearing DeAndre Hopkins complain about the officiating just highlights more and more how the Eagles were ready to go in that game, and the Chiefs were simply not ready to go in that game. So on the other side, we're going to get into what I thought were the top five most memorable or biggest plays in the game. Every Super Bowl has to have their signature moment. The 2017 team certainly did. But on the other side, we're going to get into the top five memorable plays or important plays from the Eagles' Super Bowl victory.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kansas City Chiefs. So since we're in a safe space where, you know, this is we can be honest with each other. It's like our good buddy Jack Frist used to say, it's the trust tree. I think there was an element of the game yesterday that was anticlimactic. Like they smoked them so bad that there wasn't a massive moment in the fourth quarter where you're like, maybe they're not going to win. Maybe they're not going to win. Oh my God, they're going to win. Or like, oh, they're going to lose. They're going to lose. They're going to lose. Oh my God, they're going to win. Like there wasn't that play, that like Philly special, Brandon Graham sack, the Zach Ertz catch on fourth down, the Zach Ertz game winning touchdown, some of the big Nelson Aguilar plays. Like there wasn't that. But it is a Super Bowl the Eagles won. So the plays that happened in that game are going to be replayed or remembered for a really, really long time. So let's get into what I think will go down as the top most memorable but one influential play in this game. You know, the ones you're going to see the most and the ones you remember when you think about it. So number five, I'm going to go 5-1. This is not going to be a memorable play. You won't see it like replayed all the time, but I thought it was such an important play and such a tone setter for the game. And I also think you got to have defensive plays in this top five. So the first 3rd and 9 by Kansas City, first 3rd and 9 of the game, the pocket just completely collapses on Patrick Mahomes. He rolls out. He's trying to get away. He rolls to his right. He gets away a little bit. He rolls to his left. And briefly, it looks like he's going to make one of those magical Patrick Mahomes plays. But he does it. Jalen Carter gets to him, and Jalen Carter brings him down, or at least makes it so the pass that he throws is incomplete. And it was just such a tone setter for the day. The Eagles were the more aggressive team, but they just tried harder. They just had a relentless effort that the Chiefs did not have. The Chiefs tried for the first part, but once it was clear that they weren't going to win that game, I thought they looked disinterested and like it was over. So I thought early on, when Kansas City still had some hope that they would win the game, that Jalen Carter play where he stops Mahomes from making a pass and he stops him from making a magical play really kind of set the tone, I thought, for what the defensive line was going to do throughout the day. Okay, the number four play, the fourth most memorable play, I should say, of this Super Bowl to me was the Jahan Dotson catch. I know he didn't go in for a touchdown. He was robbed of that touchdown. You got to give it to him. He's basically in. You got to give it to him. But again, set the tone for the day. Early on, Jalen Hurts was clearly tested by the Kansas City defense, and where the Kansas City defense wanted to make Jalen Hurts beat them with his arm. They shut down Saquon for the most part. You got to give it to him. They did shut down Saquon. So that throw to Jahan Dotson, I thought, A, it was a perfect throw. It was right on the money. I also think it made it so Kansas City had to worry about every player on the field. They weren't able just to focus in on just AJ, Devontae, and Dallas. But man, that throw really, really was just, it was a money throw by Jalen. It was perfectly thrown, perfect accuracy. And Jalen's accuracy was really great throughout the game. But for Jahan Dotson to make that play, you think back to the 2022 Super Bowl, and it wasn't as high leverage of a situation. But Quez Watkins dropped the pass that came his way. Jahan Dotson caught it. And it's kind of that simple. Like, if Quez Watkins catches that pass, I think they're within the 10. They're maybe even inside the 5. And maybe they score there. Maybe the game's different. Maybe we're talking about their second Super Bowl ring for Sirianni and Jalen. But because Jahan Dotson did catch it, the Eagles have a Super Bowl ring because they get an early lead. They put the Chiefs behind early. They score on that possession. And just a huge moment in the game for setting the tone of what it was going to be. So number three for me, and this is where I think you get into more like plays we will see time and time again. The Zach Bond interception basically ended the game. Like when that happened, it was okay, they're really going to win this game. Because briefly you're thinking, you know, all right, I think it was 17-0 at that point, but Kansas City had the ball. They were about to get the ball back to start the third quarter. If they get a field goal there or a touchdown and then they score on the first possession of the third quarter, it's a one possession game. So as much as the final score ended up being a blowout, and as much as it never felt like the Eagles were going to lose, there were moments where they could have. The Zach Bond interception, first of all, the defensive line once again forces it, gets to, I think it's Josh Sweat, forces his guy into Patrick Mahomes. But what's crazy is even with the pressure, I didn't think that like it impacted the throw that much. Patrick Mahomes had a bunch of throws in this game that were just terrible, just flat out bad throws. Like to Jason Kelce, I mean, to Travis Kelce behind him. The DeAndre Hopkins one, like, Hopkins has to get it, but that's a wide open throw. Like, look at the touchdown that Jalen had to A.J. Brown. When he threw that pass to A.J. Brown, A.J.'s wide open, but he hits him with a perfect, like, not laser fast. It's a soft, catchable ball. A.J. catches, is able to turn up the field. Patrick Mahomes had a few passes where he just put too much on it or it was behind him. And that's what happens when you rattle a quarterback. So Patrick Mahomes on the Zach Bond interception. First of all, Zach Bond, a player we'll always remember for this season. Hopefully he's here for years to come. But Zach Bond picking off Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, I think, is a play you're going to see for a long time. It's a great catch by Zach Bond. The throw is so bad that it makes it a hard catch, but he holds on to it. The Eagles take advantage and they're up 24-0 at halftime. Still crazy to say. I was walking through the airport this morning. I saw 34-0. They're replaying the game. And even I, as someone who was there and has thought and talked about the game for every single second I've been awake since then, was like, nah, could have been 34-0. It is crazy how big of a lead they built and how big of a blowout this really was. But I think the Zach Bond interception is a play that that you'll see for a long time. So the top two were tough. I think there's two clear candidates, and I think you could go either way because the one has more star power. But for me, the number two most memorable play is going to be Jalen Hurts' deep pass to DeVonta Smith. You could have easily made it number one. But that pass, I thought, solidified and ended the argument of Jalen's status as an elite quarterback. Before that play, maybe Josh Sweat gets MVP. Jalen's numbers, he was outstanding. But, like, you know, he didn't throw for 500 yards. Like, his numbers were more you had to watch it than they jump off of the stat sheet. But Jalen Hurts and that throw, it was perfect. It was down the field. He hit DeVonta in stride. It put them up. I think that was what made it 34-0, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe 31-0. But it was just an outstanding throw. And I also think when you think of what makes a Super Bowl play iconic, just the image of that ball floating in the air, coming down to DeVonta. DeVonta born in Louisiana, didn't get a touchdown in the last Super Bowl. Boom, catches it, touchdown. Game essentially over. I think that's a play that you're going to see so many times. I actually think it's Jalen's signature play at this point up to his career. I think that that's the play I'll remember Jalen the most for as of now. There was the 4th-and-5 play against Washington. It's really good. 2022, he had some great runs. That run against Minnesota made some great plays in the Super Bowl. Jalen certainly has had some highlights. But I think in terms of memorable plays, like a 50-yard pass in the Super Bowl that basically ended it. Yeah, that's a big-time throw by Jalen. And I think much like you see, you know, some of the plays Foles made in that magical run, the quarterback just matters more. Like, you want to see plays from the quarterback. But I couldn't put it number one. And why is that? Because I think the Philly special of this game, the Brandon Graham strip sack, the play we'll always remember is the Cooper DeJean pick six. Just the fact that it was off Mahomes. It was his first career interception. The game was still somewhat in balance when he made it. And I think it signifies that the story of the game, while I think it was Jalen, I think it's going to be remembered more probably for the defense. And a terrible throw by Patrick Mahomes. Again, an interception that the defense forces. The defensive line forces. Patrick Mahomes has to roll out because they know he's not going to have any protection if he's in the pocket. Because he's rattled, he's trying to make something happen. The Chiefs are losing. I mean, just a horrendous throw. Like, it was well behind. I think it was Marquise Brown he's trying to target. Cooper DeJean picks it off. And like we, you know, played earlier in the pod, once he had it, he knew he was scoring. You could see the decisiveness in which he ran, goes down the field, makes one or two guys miss towards the very end. And the party was on. Like, the party was on. I don't know about you, but when that happened, that's when I got the most texts like, yeah, they're going to do it. Like, there's no way they lose this game when you have a play like that. So I think in Eagles history, there's been a lot of great plays. If you had to do the 10 biggest plays in Eagles history, a lot of them, right? I think, you know, are obviously, you know, you think of 4th-and-26, you think of the Philly special, you think of Miracle at the Meadowlands, you think of, you know, all types of big plays. Dawkins hit on Algie Crumpler, the Brandon Graham strip sack. I think the Cooper DeJean play is now up there. In the Super Bowl to win it, defense, rookie, Mahomes. That's a special, special, special play. And when they put up a poster of like this Super Bowl winning team, when they put something in the hallway at the link, when they put something up at the NovaCare, I think Cooper DeJean holding that ball will be in there because it was one of the most memorable and important plays of this game. But I'm excited to talk to you and see which plays you remember the most. The only downside, like I said, of it being such a blowout is it is tougher to think of those signature moments. It's more the entire game you think about as a dominating factor as opposed to memorable plays. But for me, those would be my top five memorable plays. So thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you taking the time. There's so much Eagles content out there. The fact you're spending it with me really does mean a lot. Everyone get some sleep. We all need a little sleep. We can wake up fresh on Tuesday, reset, get going. It's been like 48 hours. Let's all relax. But until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Bears!
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.